you hear that? Right in the middle of a yawn there. It's crazy. Great timing. Still tired. Kids still getting up really early. Feeling better, though. Feeling good. 5 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. If you guys want to text us on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you're new to the show, text KFKA, get you a nickname. Because that's how you become a Hall of Famer. That's how you got to work hard to get in the Hall of Fame, man. This isn't like the NFL Hall of Fame where you can just have a nice career and you get in. You have to bust your hump. You have to be known and you have to be good. You can't just text in, hi, you look nice. It's like, no, flattering, yes, but you have to do more than that. So become a part of the Hooligan Club, the Hall of Fame Club. Text in. Bring takes, man. Like about this NFL thing. Why aren't we releasing the other emails? Do we really believe that Gruden was the only one that was writing bad things in there? I don't believe it. And I listen. This is one of those conversations that can take us in 400 million different ways. Here's the way I view it. Let me just say a couple of things about the whole Gruden thing. Have I said stupid things before? Yes, we've all said stupid things. I really try. I'll be real honest. I try not to cuss. Like, unless I get mad, I get stupid, and it comes out, and you're in a group of, you know, whatever. I get it. It happens sometimes. But I try to really clean up my language. I've been around people that will say something that's a bad word, that's a, you know, obviously could be considered a racist word or whatever. They're directing it at something else. They're saying it. It's a terrible word. I've heard it, and I'm not excusing it. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't like those words that were in these emails. You don't hear me talk like that. I don't like when people talk like that. I kind of put my head down typically when I hear people say stuff like that. But I know that, hey, I also like to say, hey, that's probably not, like if I know the person, if I'm just meeting somebody for the first time and I just hear them dropping the F-bomb, doing all these other things like that, and just like, wow. There's a lot coming at me. I don't even know what to do with that. But if I know the person, it's like, wow, take it easy, man. I mean, my goodness. So I try not to talk like that. Derek Carr probably seems like a guy that just tries not to talk like that. He said, hey, I love the man, talking about Gruden, but I hate the sin. So that was kind of, and I thought Derek Carr did a pretty good job as far as talking about it yesterday. I mean, what was this, 11 years ago? And I'm not saying that excuses it somehow, but it was 11 years ago. You're finding an email. Should he have lost his job over this? He's put in a position of being a leader. He resigned, which I think we're all kind of on the same side. It was like that was a, air quote, resign, you know, resignation. Should he have lost his job? I tend to say so because you can't go back on that. The word is out that he said those things, that he did apparently have some issues with women referees, with gay players coming into the NFL. He said some pretty, you know, obviously his description of DeMaurice Smith was not great. He said an awful thing about his boss, with Roger Goodell. That gets you fired everywhere else. Don't say anything bad, Colfax. So, I mean, those things right there can get you in hot water. How are you supposed to lead those guys? How are you supposed to lead your team of black men, of a gay man, working with female referees? How are they? I mean, that's a tough one. Could he get a job someday down the road? I don't know. I mean, they're erasing him. Tampa Bay is erasing him from their Hall of Fame. Or Ring of Fame. Like, why right now? We're just in a hurry to say, oh, no. No, man. We're anti-racism. We're all that stuff. No, see, he's gone. Bye-bye. It's like he never existed. He did exist. He coached your Super Bowl. So should you erase that you won a Super Bowl? Because he did. So when we say that, hey, Tampa Bay won a Super Bowl, whatever year that was, who was the head coach? It was... Beep. Who was it? Oh, we can't say. You can't say his name? What is this, Harry Potter? Voldemort? Sorry. Okay, I know across the line there. He who shall not be named, for all the Harry Potter nerds that are strangely listening to this show. Tommy, don't call me. Tommy Shaw is texting in. It's been a while, Tommy, man. It's good to hear from you, my friend. How recent and how many of these were found? Well, there's 640,000 emails, right? That's what we've read. And this was back around the when this was perhaps going to be the lockout. Wasn't that around the time? 2011? So people were, like, emotions were high. Frustrations were high. People were talking about, and I'm not excusing it by saying that. I'm just saying that that's why these emails were going back and forth. But you were investigating Washington. You were investigating the Washington football team and Dan Snyder and everything that was going on with him. And then you just find emails that have nothing to do with that about John Gruden, and you choose to release that one. Come on. I don't care what camp you're in. If you're on the camp of, oh, erase Gruden forever, don't even say his name. Or if you're in the camp of, you know what, whatever, which I don't agree with either sides of those camps. You still have, you cannot tell me this is okay. Why are we not releasing the other texts and emails and all that? Bama Bear, something smells fishy about this NFL thing. Retiring the great Sean Taylor's number may be a distraction for something else. Yeah, we're doing that this weekend. Why did that take so long? Sean Taylor, man, that guy, he could have been, he was something. He could have been a big time something in that, in this league. Yeah, it is a little strange, guys. Madden's removing him from the game, which, I mean, okay, he's not a coach anymore, so you're just digitally removing him from the game. It struck me strangely when, because I heard Tanner on NoCo now talking about Warren Sapp, and I don't even want to get into all his stuff, but, you know, he has some stuff. There's O.J. Simpson's in the Hall of Fame. You know, I mean, they're not removing his bust from the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of players that have done some stuff. And I have always gone back to this. Okay, the difference there is Gruden is a leader. And I saw somebody, was it the Chargers coach? I liked what he had to say about the coach position. He said, whether you're high school level, college level, NFL, there are those of us that really take that honor seriously. We're a coach. We are being entrusted with your kids at the high school level. We're being entrusted with your student athletes at the college level. And you're trusting me with your career, kind of. And I know that the players also, we play for ourselves. But it is a coach that can help make a player. If I don't give Javonte Williams more than 5 carries in a game, it's going to stunt his growth as a running back. And that's my decision as a head coach. So, you know, that's a great responsibility, to be a leader, to be a coach. And so I do think that that kind of language is tough. I'm not talking about the F-bomb, which I said I'm not crazy about, but I'm talking about that other language that's in there. Those really powerful words that can cause people to feel really, really bad that I don't know anything about. I mean, I've been called some pretty nasty names too, and growing up from, you know, kids that were kind of the bully types and all that. And, you know, it sucked. It made me feel like crap. Imagine if you were a gay kid growing up and those words are just thrown around left and right. I mean, I can understand it. So I can see where this all starts and where this begins. But I also look at it and say, okay, are we even sitting down doing an explanation of, like, what was the, and I do want to see the emails. I'm not saying that we need the context. The words are the words. But who's replying? Who's he replying to? Who's sending him emails? Was there other stuff being said? And again, why just Gruden? Tom, don't call me Tommy Shaw, says, it seems there have to be an agenda. What happened to forgiveness? And I can see that. I see that. This is kind of why it all happened really fast. Like, are we not even going to sit down and have this conversation? Like, what happened to, why not sit down? Put him at a table and have a discussion. Seriously. I'm not saying he doesn't need to be gone. Trust me. I can already hear people freaking out right now. But do we want to? Now, when Gruden said he didn't mean to hurt anybody, well, okay, you didn't say it to that person, but you still said it and you still typed it and you still felt those words were necessary adjectives. So, you know, why'd you say that word then? It may be, okay, I get it. Some people just use that as part of their language, and that's the way they talk, and it's whatever. I am in that camp that because you've said some things that can be considered racist statements, does that, you know, I do ask the question, does that make you racist at heart? I always thought, again, I'm just going to throw this out there. I always thought racist, like that word racist is a powerful word. I always thought the word racist means I think I'm better than you because of my skin color. Like I think I should get more than you because of my skin color. Like that's how my brain operates. That's what I thought racist was. But now racist is, oh, you slipped up and you said a bad word. Who's performing at halftime? Tell me who's performing at halftime. How many of those bad words have those guys said in their rap songs? And I've listened to that music. So I'm not sitting here saying they shouldn't have music. I was in the camp that was always like, hey, if you don't like it, don't listen to it. Let it happen. Eminem, dude, the Slim Shady guy, right? How many choking women? All the time in those songs. He's singing at your NFL halftime show, guys. Well, Brady, that was in the 90s. Gruden's emails were in the 11s. So, I mean, if we're going to do this, do it. I promise. I'm fine with it. I'll sign on it, off on it. But let's be consistent here. Gruden, by those emails, getting out like that, and obviously thinking, okay, that's the way he speaks. That's the way he is. He doesn't seem to care if that gets out. He doesn't need to be in the NFL anymore. Okay, I agree. I'm there. Why is Eminem performing at halftime? Well, Brady, he's not a coach. He's not leading these men. No, but he's representing you. You're paying him, or I don't even know how that works anymore. They don't get paid, but they make bank. The lyrics in their songs are worse than what Gruden said. And I know some people will have the perfect response to me on this. I'd like to hear it. Because if we're trying to erase no-no words, then we need to do it all the way, right? You can't just say, Gruden, oh, you're a bad guy. You said some terrible things. Yeah, but he's not coaching. Snoop Dogg and Eminem and D-Dog or whatever, I'm not a rap guy. They're not leading my football team. You're right, they're not. They're entertaining my kids at halftime of the Super Bowl. Who's Snoop Dogg, Mom? I don't know. Well, I'm going to go search him. Holy crap, I'm opened up to a whole new world of language. Eminem says some vile things. Guess it's okay. The NFL says it is. Son, that was so 2001. Either be consistent or just let it all go. That's my biggest thing with all of this for years now. I've said this from day one. Be consistent with it. And I'll sign off on it if it's, you know, again, within reason. Star Fox texting in. Urban Meyer probably had to have something to do with the emails to get released just to draw attention away from him. Took him off the hot seat. I mean, there's one. It's Roger Goodell. Tell me you're a boss and you read that email that Gruden said about you, the things he called you. Tell me you're happy about that. And then you read the rest and you go, all right, fine. Because I'm guessing those two didn't have a great relationship. Release the rest of the emails, man. Why not? Because it will end the NFL? Okay, then there's the problem. Be consistent. If you're going to move on from John Gruden, do it. I understand it and I support it. But then you better not be having Eminem and Snoop Dogg playing at your halftime show. And listen, they all have great music, right? Well, I'm a rock guy, but I've been told things. I'm supportive of that, too. Go listen to that music. Enjoy that music. Do your thing. And if you can listen to it and go, yeah, but I don't really feel like choking people and stuff, but I just like the beat and the music and all that stuff. Okay, then great. If you can separate that. It's like playing video games. Grand Theft Auto. I don't really want to go rob people and kick people out of their cars and drive all over New York like a crazy person. It's just fun to do in a video game. If you can do that without it, you know, attacking or destroying your brain, then do it. I'm not one of those guys that says music is warping our kids. But some could take it a little too far. So I'm just be consistent with the whole thing. You know, they tried to remove naughty language inside the games. Remember that? They tried to get rid of, penalize you if you said something bad. I thought that was ridiculous. I'm like, you're going to penalize a guy in the heat of battle for saying a bad word that's probably considered racist or whatever. You're going to penalize him 15 yards. They're all saying it. White people, black people, whatever. You hear it on the, you hear it in games. I've heard it before. You've heard it when the mics are too close. So are we going to fire everybody now when it comes out? When those names come out? That's what I'm saying. If we're going to do this, do it. And his were bad, too. It's not like he just said the word in jest or in passing. He was saying, laying it out. And obviously, these emails were also, you know, having concerns with female referees and gay people coming into the league and that kind of thing. So I understand it 100%. I'm just saying you need to be consistent up and down the board here. Because some of those musical lyrics that you're going, they're not going to be the ones they play at halftime. But if you look them up and go back 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you're going to find some interesting things. 21 minutes after the hour, Star Fox goes. Also, Star Fox, where in the world did this nickname come from? It just comes to us, man. It's just how people are nicknamed. I don't choose it. It's just the way it is. 21 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Brian Howell coming up next.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Whole Show weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKS.
Twenty-seven minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, Brian Howell, our Buffs insider from Buff Zone. Brian, come on, man. Tell me, this is the week. This is the weekend. The Buffs get back on track, right? Going up against Arizona. Surely something's got to give.
Well, something has to give because this is two of the worst Power 5 teams in the country right now. And, you know, it looks ugly for CU right now with a 4-game losing streak. But Arizona's got a 17-game losing streak coming in here. So their last win was in Boulder, actually, 2 years ago. So I think this will be the week, but you know, I don't have confidence in either team, and that's a tough game to try to project.
Yeah, it really, man, it's crazy, right? Take me back to a couple of weeks ago, Brian, when, you know, the Buffs beat the Bears, and then the next week they're going toe-to-toe with Texas A&M. It is like a night and day difference between those first couple of weeks to where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, we were not only talking bowl games, but I was talking to, you know, one guy on a radio show in the Pac-12, and we were talking about, boy, if the Buffs are going to be this good, could Carl Durrell win Pac-12 Coach of the Year twice in a row? And
wow.
we're far from that. So things have changed quite a bit. I mean, obviously, even in that A&M game, they didn't play well offensively. They only scored 7 points. And that's just really continued over the last several weeks. And, you know, they've gotten a little bit better. I mean, they got 14 points 2 weeks ago, which is the most they've scored since they played UNC. So it's gotten a little bit better. But, man, it's just brutal.
It really is, man. I mean, and when you look at the numbers, Brian, like we're talking historic numbers, right? Historically low numbers for this offense.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, they're 129th out of 130 teams in the FBS in scoring. But you take out the UNC game, which, you know, no offense to UNC, but that's an FCS opponent. The Buffs are averaging 8.5 points a game against FBS competition. I mean, that's insane. I mean, it is. You're right. It's historically, you know, one of the worst offenses we've seen at CU in a long time.
Yeah. Well, so what happened over the bye week, Brian? You know, you always wonder: are there going to be changes? Are there going to be some real deep research here as to what to do? Can you speak on anything there that might give some Buffs fans some hope?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Buff fans, whenever things like this happen, I mean, no matter what fan base it is, they want heads to roll, right? They want a coordinator fired. They want a position coach fired. They want a change of quarterback and things like that. And, you know, Carl Durrell has come out this week and said, nope, we're not changing any of the duties. You know, Darren Cheverini is still calling the plays. We're going to make some subtle changes that we hope will change things. And what those subtle changes are, you know, we'll see. We can't obviously watch practice in the media, so we have to wait until Saturday to see what that looks like. But it hasn't looked any different over the last 3 weeks. A little bit better results each week, but it hasn't looked a whole lot different. So we'll see what subtle changes they have this week.
Yeah, you talked about it. The quarterback side of things, that's been a big question on everybody's mind, too, is you know, what is the confidence factor right now for Durrell? Or is it more or less, hey, this is who we have with Brandon Lewis? Because, you know, we talked about the backup situation, and clearly if you're not going to be putting Drew in there at some point, you know, even for at the end of those games, you must be really concerned.
Yeah, it's really an odd situation, you know, with, you know, the fact that, you know, Drew Carter is one injury away from being the guy, and for them to not take the opportunity in these blowout losses to give him some valuable game reps is really bizarre, in my opinion. But and that just shows you that they're so committed to let's get Brandon Lewis right that it's hard for me to imagine. I don't know how you go from, we're not going to give Drew Carter any reps in the fourth quarter and all of a sudden he's starting or, you know, being a big part of your offense, but you know, we'll see. I anticipate they're still going to roll with Brandon Lewis, and I think it should be a short leash, but they haven't shown that yet. So until they do, I've got to think they're going to continue to roll with him.
Yeah, which, again, just leaves us with a lot of these questions. Brian, is there a hot seat right now for Carl Durrell? Because last year was so great. It was a COVID year, but we were still excited about it. We know they kind of played perhaps not the strongest portion of the Pac-12 schedule. But either way, they won the games that were in front of them. Carl Durrell named Pac-12 Head Coach of the Year. Reverse that to one of the bottom two worst offenses in college football right now. And so, I mean, you're looking at a 1-4 record again, going up against an Arizona team that's really bad. Is Carl Durrell, like, is he, how hot is that seat right now?
Yeah, I don't think his seat is hot right now just because of the length of his contract. I mean, he's really only in year two, and technically has not even coached a full season's worth of games. I mean, he's coached 11 games at CU at this point. So, I mean, he's still owed, I think, $11 million or something like that, and CU doesn't have that kind of money. Unless there's a booster that all of a sudden says, Rick George, I'm going to give you $11 million to get rid of this guy. You know, I can't imagine that happens. So I think he's set for now. But I do think there are guys on the staff who are on the hot seat. And, you know, to me, it starts with Darren Shiverini, who, you know, I've always gotten along with, and he's a good guy, and he's a Buff. But it hasn't worked out right now. And I think that he's number one on that hot seat list. And so I think what I'm looking at more so is that staff and seeing what kind of changes might happen once that once the season finishes in November.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a handful of us, half the games here were in Pac-12 action here, you know, so if you can get a couple of wins in a row, you could change things around, and it starts with that Arizona side of things. And then I believe it's at Cal next, Brian. So when you look around, you think maybe there are some opportunities here for the Buffs to kind of right the ship, at least get a couple of wins, you know, get to that 3 or 4 mark, and maybe people will feel a little bit better.
Yeah, there is an opportunity here. You know, I'll give you a stat here. There's 4 Power 5 teams right now that do not have an FBS win, and 3 of them are CU, Arizona, and Cal. So, you know, that's going to change here in the next couple of weeks, and the Buffs would love to get both of those. I mean, there's an opportunity here. They're playing 2 teams that are struggling as much as they are, if not more, and so the opportunity is there. You're right. And if you get Arizona and you look fairly decent doing it, you take momentum into Cal. Maybe you get that one, and then, you know, you got Oregon next week, and maybe forget about that one. But, you know, still, if you get a win or two, they just got to win on Saturday to try to get some confidence back and get the locker room back, I think. And if you can get a couple in a row, then maybe you can finish the season with 4 wins.
Which I think, you know, at the beginning of the season, I was with you, Brian. At the beginning of the season, you're looking at a 10-7 loss to A&M, and you're going, wow, this Buffs team might be legit. Here we go. But now, it's funny how expectations change throughout the preseason, throughout the regular season. And, those expectations weren't, I don't know if there were even any expectations to start the season for the Buffs. But then you battle with Texas A&M. We turn it around to, okay, yeah, absolutely they're going to a bowl game. And then we saw what happened the next 4 weeks. And now it's, hey, can you get 4 wins at least to salvage it? And it is crazy. That's why we love football. It's maddening, man. It makes me want to pull my hair out.
Yeah, no question. Actually, you know, it's even worse than that. Right now, it's can you get that second win? You know, because if you don't get this one, you know, if you're CU, if you don't get this one against Arizona, it's hard to see them getting a win, you know, the rest of the season, because I just think that there's guys on this team. I hate to say guys are quit, but I think you start losing the locker room. in those types of situations. So it's kind of do or die for the Buffs this week, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, 100%. Brian, we didn't get a chance to talk to you last week, so I wanted to kind of follow up on the whole Durrell camera situation. Didn't get to get into that. It was such a surprise because, Brian, you and I have talked about this at length, and you know, when you talk to Carl Durrell, he is such an even-keel guy. He is such a nice guy. I think I enjoyed talking to him the most at that football summit thing to begin the season. So that's why it was just such a shock to see something that's not the end of the world, but still, it was a shock to see it.
Yeah, you know, and it's sort of out of his character, but at the same time, he gets frustrated after losses, and he has shown that before, not necessarily by, you know, pushing a camera guy, but he's shown it by not letting players be available after the Alamo Bowl loss. And, you know, he's done a couple other things. He didn't do his post-game interview with KOA after the Minnesota loss. And so it's little things like that that, you know, he's shown his frustration. And the camera incident, not a huge, huge deal, but, you know, it was about 2 seconds where he kind of, you know, made a long haul and didn't do the right thing right there. But, you know, he does get frustrated. He is a fiery guy. He's a competitive guy. And you want to see that in some respects, but you got to channel it in a different way.
Well, we'll see if he can channel it in the right way this weekend, and maybe that leads to a Buffs win against the bottom of the barrel in the Pac-12 South. Brian, appreciate you, man. What are you putting together that we can check out at Buffs Zone?
Yeah, just previewing this game and seeing, you know, the battle for the South basement, I guess, and trying to avoid the South basement, and you know, just a lot of things come up with that, and then you know, we got our basketball coverage, obviously. I mean, Pat Rooney was out at San Francisco for Pac-12 Media Day this week, so we got a lot of basketball coverage as well. And hey, the basketball team has an open scrimmage on Saturday before the game, so for those coming down to Boulder, it might be a good opportunity to catch both of those teams on Saturday.
What do you make of the basketball team, Brian? You know, we're looking at are there just two seniors on this roster, so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting, but I think it's a really good team. I mean, Tad Boyle has recruited well, and there's a lot of people who think they're going to take a big step back because they lost McKinley Wright. I think they've got a ton of talent, and I think that Tad's got this thing rolling. And, yeah, I don't know if they're an NCAA tournament team, but that's a team that should expect to be in the NCAA tournament at this point.
Isn't that something, Tad Boyle? Like, you can have a coach like that you lose McKinley Wright, you have two seniors and a lot of young guys on this roster, but we still fully expect them to be really close to it, to at least getting into the tournament, if not very close.
Yeah, no question. I mean, CU fans, I know there's a lot of them that are every year that are, you got to fire Tad Boyle, need somebody better, but enjoy what you have because this guy's a gem. And he, you know, this is some good basketball at CU. And if the football team could find a coach like Tad Boyle, that equivalent, it would be amazing for this program. You know, I think Boyle's been great for the basketball program. And if we could find his equivalent for football, it would change things a lot at CU.
Yeah, no question about it. Brian, appreciate you as always, man. Let's see if we can have a positive win conversation next Thursday. Hopefully we can get there.
That would be nice, because if they lose, I might just start covering basketball full time.
That's the beautiful part about October, right? You get to kind of just transition away quietly and nobody will notice. So you could do that.
That's right.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
All right, that was Brian Howell of Buff Zone. 38 minutes after the hour, and boy, we've got to get to my Thursday night special. I'm in desperate need of a win here. I mean, you put me in the same camp as Carl Durrell. Put me in the same camp as, well, Steve Adazio a couple of weeks ago. Don't put me in the same camp as Urban Meyer. But yeah, I'll be in the same camp as those guys. I'm desperate for a Thursday night special win. First, Colfax, let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thursday, not so special. Thursday.
Oh, man, it's good.
Thursday.
Yeah!
Not so special.
I just drive around and listen to this, the five or six that are on the album. Colfax is not a one-hit wonder, but he made an album so great, so beautiful, so creative that he never had to do it again. Why do it again? Because you're never going to live up to those expectations. Why create a new album? Yeah, and that's not a knock, man. That's because what you have created is so mind-blowing. Changes people's lives, man. It really does. And so why try to do album number two? You know?
I got six hits.
Oh, it's six?
Well, yeah, because the whole album, each song on the album is a hit.
No question about it.
They're all one-hit wonders in their own right.
The golden... What did you win for that? The Grammys? Is that what it is?
Yep, yep. Couple
Golden Globes?
Six of them.
Six Grammys?
Yep. An Emmy, I think, in there.
Emmy, a Dundee?
Yep.
Is that... So a couple of those? Okay, all right, here we go. All right. Eastside Chris, that just had to light up a heater. Okay. Here we go. Thursday night special. Tampa Bay taking on the Philadelphia Eagles tonight on Thursday night football. You know, on one side, you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 4-1. They're looking every bit as good as we talked about. The Philadelphia Eagles are the pure definition right now of a middle-of-the-road team. In every category, they're like 14, 12, 13, 16, 14. They're a middle-of-the-road team. Tampa Bay's offense, looking good, man. They're number three in overall offense. They're number one in passing. Tom Brady taping up the fingers, though. Are we worried about it? You worried about Tommy Bones having a taped-up finger? Now, when I made the pick, I like to clarify when I made the pick. So if you go to ESPN, it has Tampa Bay -7. When I made the pick, I looked at DraftKings. That's what we go off of officially there. Well, last week it was ESPN. Today's DraftKings. 6.5 was the spread. Now, this is one of those games where they try to get you. They try to get you because you're like, Tampa Bay's winning by a touchdown, right? Well, defensively, got a few injuries. Lavonta David's out. Rob Gronkowski's out on the offensive side of the ball for the third straight week. So it's kind of a trap game for bettors. I like Tampa Bay to cover.
Hold on to your butts.
36! Complete! And flying into the end zone is Giovanni Bernard.
Just the Pirates, everything. It's fantastic. Gotta love Tampa Bay tonight in this one. I think they just roll through the Eagles. And I know the taped finger, everyone's scared about that. But this offense is just damn good. So I think they're going to roll tonight. 48 minutes after the hour, wrap up the show on the other side with what's on tonight and closing thoughts. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
This is just fantastic. It's just wonderful. Thank you for that, Colfax. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. As you know, so when we're talking about the halftime show, and so I don't know who these guys are. I don't listen to. I know who they are, but that's my jam. But do I need to say? I don't even care about halftime. I don't care. I hate halftime shows. So even if it was Metallica or the Red Hot Chili Peppers who did it one year, I don't like it because it's like I'm in football mode. I don't need music. I don't want any of that stuff. I want something different. I just want an analysis for, you know, however long, 45 minutes. That's fine. I take that. Yeah, the halftime show, I was complaining about it earlier, but honestly, I don't care about any of the music. I'm flipping it over to Discovery Channel and watching the puppy halftime bowl or whatever that is. Is it the puppy or is it the kitty halftime show? It's the kitties. They run around. It's just adorable. I mean, it's the best. Who would have thought? You throw all these kitties in one thing and they just run around? It's the best thing ever. So I have ideas. Of course, we'll get to that. We'll get to my ideas for halftime every year that seem to just be overlooked by the NFL. Every single year. Yeah, these emails need to be released. Bottom line, that's what needs to happen. Doesn't make any sense that Gruden's were the only ones. Not defending Gruden. We all see it. DeMaurice Smith says it. He says, hey, what are we hiding here? There's 650,000 emails. Why is it Gruden? Gruden's were the only ones that were weird. We got Adam Schefter's basically writing Allen saying, hey, does this look okay to you? Which, at the end of the day, I'm not going to flip out about. Schefter's trying to keep relationships. I get it, because he doesn't break that kind of news anyway. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, guys. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff in front of us. You got Dodgers tonight and the Giants. That's a series tied at 2-2. I like the Dodgers tonight. Yeah, I'm going with the Dodgers. Got Tampa Bay covering the 6.5. You're welcome for that. Enjoy your Thursday night and nice and cold Thursday night. Good night, Northern Colorado.